Good morning, and thanks for tuning in today and joining us. I'm Susie Prez, and this is Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019, and it is a glorious day. It's beautiful out, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie, and this is the morning show, just in case people miss that part. And yeah, we have a great show happening today. We have with us the three mayoral candidates, Shannon Williamson, Ken Lawrence, and Shelby Ronstadt. And we're going to be talking about that race. We're going to be getting their positions on the issues.
Yep. Local Decision 2019 is what we've been doing the last few weeks. We have one more coming up next week. And we want to bring information to about contested races so that and ballot measures, and we hope that our listeners are informed and engaged voters.
Yeah, that's the idea. We want everybody to get out and vote.
So early voting is now open until Friday, November 1st. Election day is November 5th. November 1st is early voting till Friday, November 1st. Election day is November 5th. You can still get registered. You can call. You can go to their website. That's Bonner County ID. .gov. You can call 208-255-3631. They're very helpful down there. And you can also go to idahovotes.gov.
And there's also another resource in town on Sampling Online, the Election Central. And if you go to Sampling Online, you can click on the buttons for that or go straight to sandpointelections.com. A lot of information about all the races that are going to be on the ballot, and there are a lot of races, city races as well as the school district. And there's also an election calendar that gives details on events that are happening, including three upcoming forums.
So tell us about one of them.
Well, there's one on the 25th. That's this Friday. Farm Bureau is putting that on at Community Hall, and that's from 6:30 to 8:30. Then on next Tuesday, October 29th, KRFY is co-hosting with several others a candidates forum, also currently at Community Hall, and that runs from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., and we're hoping everybody will come and get informed on the races and all the candidates.
Sounds good. And next week, who are our guests? It's the last in our series of Local Decision 2019 here at the Morning Show on Wednesdays.
Next week, we're going to be covering the school district, and we will have Tom Albertson, the superintendent, in to tell us about the continuing school levy that will be on the ballot, as well as the candidates for Trustee Zone 4 have been invited. So it's next week, it's school district. And then after that, we're all voting.
All right. So before we get to our interview with our mayoral candidates, and have we introduced them?
I just rattled their names off.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. But before we get to that, I want to remind everyone that at 9 o'clock this morning, right after Bird Note, I will be extending the morning show with two additional interviews. I have Don Childress, host of the newest KRFY show, Fourth Sunday Showtime. He'll give us a preview of his show that will air this coming Sunday, since it's the fourth Sunday of the month. That's October 27th from 5 to 7. Also, right after Don gives us a little picture of his show, we'll have Mark Sauter. He's a retired fire chief. He'll be joining us to talk about an emergency management service plan and process and the very important upcoming public presentations. We'll find out more about that. That will be at 9 o'clock this morning. And also, we have the weather. So would you like to hear the weather?
Yeah, it's beautiful out there right now. I know
it's
that.
Beautiful. I can't believe it's saying 28 degrees. Yeah. It feels warmer. But we have the weather is saying today a high of 53, sunny, light and variable winds becoming north 5 to 7 miles per hour in the morning. Tonight, patchy fog after 1 a.m., otherwise mostly clear with low around 30, calm winds. Thursday, patchy fog before 8 a.m. and a high of 52, and then Thursday night, a low of 32. It looks like there's a slight chance of rain, well, 70 to 20% chance of rain on Friday, but otherwise I'm seeing sunshine, so pretty nice fall weather, if you ask me.
It sure is.
And how much daylight are we losing right now, Chris? You can tell us.
Actually, I think we lost about 24 minutes of daylight per day over the course of the last week because the days are getting shorter as we get closer to the... we're coming up on winter now, right?
Right.
We're aiming at the winter solstice, so...
Okay.
That's what's happening. And okay. Let's get to today's...
Do you want to hear the Sandpoint City Minute
first? Okay, give us that first. Actually, there's a... It's about something we might talk about.
Yeah. This is from the desk of Sandpoint City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton. The City of Sandpoint invites all its residents, business, and property owners to participate in a kickoff meeting for a comprehensive plan update at 5:30 p.m. this Thursday, October 24th, in the community room at the library Sandpoint branch at 1407 Cedar Street. The comprehensive plan process is an opportunity to imagine Sandpoint's future, its neighborhoods, business corridors, education, economy, connectivity, open spaces, and all that makes our community a great place to live and work and play. More information about the update can be found on the city website at sandpointidaho.gov/imagine or by calling 208-255-1738. And that is your Sandpoint City Minute.
Okay. And with that, let's get into today's talk with our three mayoral candidates. Again, we have with us Shannon Williamson. Shannon, say hi.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Ken Lawrence. Hi, Ken.
Hello. Good to be with you.
And our incumbent, Shelby Ronstad.
Good morning, listeners.
And we're going to kick it off with basically an open mic for a minute and a half or 2 minutes for each of you to introduce yourself to listeners, tell us about your background, why you're running, and take it from there. Shannon, why don't you go first?
Oh, thanks, Chris. I love going first. Well, little bit about me. I'm a scientist. I have a bachelor's degree in marine biology and a PhD in marine science. I'm also a single mom of two. My son, Finn, is 12, and my daughter, Emerson, is 9, going on 10. And I fell in love with Sandpoint, and I decided that I wanted to raise my family here. And so since I made that important decision, I wanted to get involved in my community. And about 2 years after we moved here, I ran for city council. And I've been on the city council for 6 years now, and I've been city council president for 4 years. And I've really enjoyed the work. I've enjoyed working with my fellow council members and the mayor and our pretty amazing staff. And over the last 2 years, we've gone through a really important process of strategic planning that led into our strategic priorities that have informed the master planning processes that we're going through now and that we're going to be tackling over the next 4 years, as well as any projects that come out of those master plans. It's a pretty critical time for our city. And I feel like I have the experience and the leadership skills to steer this ship at this point in time, and that's why I'm running.
Great. Thank you. Ken Lawrence, same question to you. Give us a little bit about yourself and why you're running.
Okay. My name is Ken Lawrence. I've been privileged to be a member of the Sandpoint community for 22 years, and I've been a pastor locally and also a successful business owner. I've worked with at least one of our candidates here today in the past on that. But it's good to be here. I'm very optimistic about Sandpoint's future as it continues to mature as a healthy community. Growth in such a pristine place is inevitable. But how that growth is managed is paramount. I'm very hopeful that our sense of community will remain solidly intact. Providing and maintaining a prosperous, healthy, and safe atmosphere for the marketplace where families can work and enjoy all that Sandpoint has to offer is very important to me. Running for mayor of Sandpoint has been a consideration of mine for several years because of my love for this town and its people. We've been here, as I mentioned, 22 years, and I want to keep Sandpoint the vibrant community that it is by being a leader who unites our diverse opinions with well-reasoned policies based on input from residents and from the council. This will be a new experience for me when I become mayor. I even brought a newspaper clipping from yesterday with me that says Lawrence is the best choice for mayor. And I thought that would give me a real edge as I sat here at the bench today. But it's good to be able to share these thoughts with you this morning.
Okay. Thank you. Now, you keep that clipping close at hand there. Okay, Mayor Ronstadt, same question to you. Open mic here. Tell us a little bit about your background and where you're running.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Shelby Ronstadt, I'm the Idaho native. I'm a fourth generation Idaho, and I grew up in Lewiston. I moved to Sandpoint 20 years ago, and I've been a small business owner. I had Common Knowledge Bookstore and Cafe. I started The Hive in 2013 and sold my interest in that in 2014. And I started volunteering with the city in 2007, first with a comprehensive plan as on the steering committee. And that process went for a couple years. And then I served on the Planning and Zoning Commission, ultimately as vice chair, and then on the city council, ultimately as council president. And I've been the mayor for the last 4 years. I'm the candidate with the most experience. And I think another thing that really sets me apart from my challengers in this race, as we'll talk about a lot, you know, and Shannon has already mentioned, as we're in the midst of this following through with our strategic plan and in this master planning process, we need to maintain that continuity of leadership that has gotten us to this point. I think Sandpoint's in a really good place, and it's looking really good looking into the future. I think it's critical, too, that we have leadership that's able to stand up and stand up for our values and be able to tackle challenging issues that come before us. And I've been I've shown that repeatedly, whether on human rights related issues recently, and also with regards to planning issues and on other issues where I've taken the difficult position, but it's been the right position. And and I think that's really needed. That kind of leadership is really needed with the Sandpoint mayor today.
Okay, thank you, Shelby Ronstadt. All right, so let's get into some questions, and we'll start with the first one with you, Ken Lawrence. Among the many issues that face the city at present, what do you think the most two or three important ones are, the ones that are most important to you while you're running? Also, generally speaking, do you feel like the city council and the mayor have been taking the city in the right direction presently?
That's an interesting question. I had tried to answer that in a local newspaper last week, and after I read my answer, I wasn't pleased with what I said. I was talking about wanting to see the city just continue to grow and go and be a wonderful place to live, which it really is, obviously. But I'm a little concerned about the direction that the city has been taking, and that's why one reason why I began to deal seriously with running for mayor. And I believe that we are drowning in information while starving for wisdom. And so my concern is that we would seek wisdom and seek to know the right way that we can direct the city, lead the city, help the city, and work with others who are already involved in leadership, such as our administrator and also the council, of course, which is very important to all of us. I've just happy to share those thoughts to start with right now, and then I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, thank you. Shelby Ronstadt, same question to you. Among the many issues facing the city at present, what do you consider two or three of the most important ones, and do you think the city's been going in the right direction?
Yeah, absolutely. The master planning effort that we'll talk more about, but it is currently underway. Currently, we have 8 master plans in process, and one that you've certainly heard a lot about lately is the Parks and Rec master plan. I'm sure many of your listeners have participated in that. Following through with these efforts and ensuring that we continue to have robust citizen engagement and follow through to good implementation of these plans is critical. I think another critical issue today is the festival and the challenges that it's going through. The festival obviously is a cultural icon for Sandpoint. It's a huge economic driver. So I think we need to do whatever we can as a city to protect it and help it through this difficult period by rallying partners together in support. And then, of course, downtown street construction, which is happening right outside our door here. You know, we need to make sure that that's completed as soon as possible. It's obviously a huge burden to downtown businesses, and we need to give them relief by getting that project done as quickly and completely as possible. So we have been a little bit challenged with that in the early part of this project. I've directed staff to really hold the contractor's feet to the fire to make sure that we stay on schedule and get that completed this spring.
Okay. Do you think the city's been going in the right direction? Just 10 seconds there.
Yes, I do. Yeah, okay. I think we're in a really good place, and we are, you know, focused on the issues that are critical to Sandpoint's future. We're experiencing a lot of growth as a city right now, and we need experience and wisdom to be able to guide us through that growth in a way that doesn't continue to impact our quality of life and affordability.
Okay. Shannon Williamson, same question to you. Can you tell us, will you consider the two or three most important issues the city is facing right now, and do you feel the city's been going in the right direction?
Sure. Thanks for that question. And I agree with a lot of what the mayor has said, but I want to bring up a couple different points. And so for me, affordability is a huge issue, and I hear about it pretty much every single day from the residents and visitors to this town. Also, I want to bring up our resort city status and the fact that it's under a big threat right now. We might lose it. And so in terms of affordability, we've had this discussion for years, and we have not come to a place yet where we are able to really attack it and create real solutions. And so I think over the next 4 years, this is something that we really need to make a priority. And I know that it's a priority for the city and the council and the mayor and staff. But we need to look at other cities that have experienced this problem and try to find solutions that we can implement in the short term so that people that want to, that love this city and want to stay here can stay here. As for resort city status, there's an arbitrary population threshold of 10,000 residents based on the last census, and we are bumping up against that population threshold. And if we surpass it, we will lose the ability for our voters to decide themselves if they want to implement a local option tax, such as what supported the revitalization of a memorial field. It also helps us offset the costs of tourism and all the people that come into our city during the summer months. So we have what we call a bed tax right now. And so if we lose that, that contributes about $3 million to our budget. And that's going to be a huge loss for us. And so we need to continue working with our state legislators, and we've been able to work with all three to come up with a solution to this problem. And as for are we moving in the right direction, I think we've been working really hard as a staff and with the mayor and council to, you know, to move this city in a positive direction. I still think we have some challenges. We've made a lot of improvement in our communication, but most of the concerns I hear from the community are based in communication, and so we need to do a better job.
Okay. Thank you, Shannon Williamson. Next question goes to you first, Shelby Ronstadt, and you kind of addressed it, but we can go into a little more detail here. As we heard in the Sandpoint City Minute, the city's kicking off a process to update its comprehensive plan. The current comprehensive plan was completed 10 years ago in 2009. Do you think we're due, and are there things you'd like to specifically see addressed in an update to the comprehensive plan?
Yes, absolutely. But first, let me rebut that last comment by Councilwoman Williamson.
All right. We get 60 seconds for rebuttal. Yep.
Okay. So a lot of what she said was correct. I personally went down there with a delegation from the city, several city staff, and have lobbied with our existing legislators and representatives here in North Idaho. And we brought together other partners in the legislature to address this issue and try and get that 10,000 population cap lifted. And the significance here, if listeners didn't catch it, is we have funding mechanisms with the bed tax and the local option 1% memorial field tax that will be lost if we hit that 10,000 threshold. So that's a really critical number for us because that's a significant revenue that we will lose. So we have lobbied with our legislators. We made some serious headway. We have our local representatives on board, but we can't guarantee a vote in the legislature. So we have to come up with another option. And we're fortunate to have a gold ticket from the Attorney General of Idaho, who has stated that if we already have a passed and approved local option tax, then that can continue till its termination. The current LOT expires next year. If we were to pass another one next year, that would be allowed to continue even if we did pass that 10,000 threshold.
Okay. And Shannon or Ken, either one of you get another 60 seconds if you wish.
I just want to mention that I was also part of that delegation that met with our state legislators. And I've also addressed this in a roundtable situation with other cities, resort cities throughout the state of Idaho at our last Association of Idaho Cities meeting in Boise. And we are in a very unique position in that there's basically only one other city that is bumping up against this threshold. And so this is a serious issue for us, and we are going to have to work really hard to retain this status.
Okay. Ken, would you like any time on that?
I hear both of my opponents sort of assuming that we're going to continue this 1% tax or another one like it after the end of 2020. And I'm a little concerned about that. I haven't looked into that situation, and I don't know until I get there what I would do in that concern, but just the sort of this tax is running out in 2020, we'll just get a new one. I would be a little cautious about that.
Chris, may I say something just really quickly? Okay. Just as a point of clarification, the voters decide whether they would like to implement a tax. This is not something that we mm-hmm. would impose on our mm-hmm. residents.
And it actually takes a 60% majority mm-hmm. to do that. Your point well taken, Ken. That's really up in the air. So back to the question, Shelby, that we started on before we got into rebuttals. City's kicking off an updated comprehensive plan process. Current plan's 10 years old. Do you think we're due? And are there things you'd like to see specifically addressed? 90 seconds here.
Yeah, thanks for the question. So yes, 10 years is a typical window for a comprehensive plan. You should reform what your 20-plus year vision is every 10 years or sooner. The 2009 plan was a huge improvement over what we had historically, which was from the 1970s and really was not much of a plan at all. So the 2009 comp plan accomplished a lot for us. It allowed increased density. It allowed accessory dwelling units by right. And those two things alone improved affordability in Sandpoint significantly. We would have a much bigger problem today than we currently do if we hadn't passed that 2009 plan in the following zoning changes. So there are still tweaks that we can make looking forward. There's still opportunities to revise that plan and make sure that not only are we accommodating future growth in a way that's going to keep Sandpoint affordable, but it's going to maintain that quality of life that we all love about Sandpoint. And it also gives us the opportunity to improve those points of conflict that invariably happen when you have competing uses that are adjacent to one another, and there's invariably friction that happens there. So this will give us an opportunity to refine those buffer zones and make sure that we have compatible uses throughout the city.
Okay, thank you, Shelby Ronstadt. Shannon Williamson, same question to you. Current comprehensive plan was completed 10 years ago. Do you think we're due for an update? And are there things you'd specifically like to see addressed?
Thanks for that question. Yes, I do think it's time. This community changes every single day. And we need to be able to address that in a comprehensive manner. And I really encourage everybody that's listening to come out to that kickoff tomorrow night at the library, because we need their input. That's a critical part of this process. And as for what I'd like to specifically see addressed and what will be addressed first is development around the airport. You know, that's been in the news quite a bit. That's something we've addressed at council for several meetings over the last couple of months. And it's a difficult animal to tackle. We have to be able to balance development and affordable housing with protecting public health and safety. And that's really what it comes down to. And we've had to make some difficult decisions around that. And so without any proper guidance or any specific language in our current comp plan, that's a real problem. And that's been the challenge for the council to make decisions around development. And so I'm really happy to see that that's the first issue that we're going to be tackling.
Okay. Thank you, Shannon. Ken Lawrence, same question to you on the comprehensive plan. Do you think we're due for an update? And are there things you'd like to see specifically addressed in that?
Well, of course, the state law requires a new comp plan, and I'm reviewing a little bit what the mayor said. Ours is a 20-year plan, the last one in 2009, 17 requirements element per state law, but we're not limited to those. 10 master planning efforts are underway, and a consultant contract with Logan Simpson Design was approved on September 18th that begins the process. So the component dealing with the airport plan is expected to be completed this December, so that makes that a hot item. Idaho's airport land use guidelines recommend 6 airport land use compatibility zones, including airport traffic pattern area, runway protection zones, lateral safety zones among them. The lateral safety zone became an issue during the recent zone change requests, which were ultimately approved. I was surprised, I think, by that approval. But again, I don't have the knowledge concerning that that I am slowly but steadily gaining. So in July, the council approved a one-year moratorium to allow time for resolving the airport comp plan component. Much data is associated with the comprehensive plan, and the council should welcome extensive public involvement because the council alone does not have the insight into all the issues that are of importance to the public.
Okay, thank you. Next question, and it's kind of a follow-up on the master plan thing. Right now, your city is pretty far along in the master planning process, specifically for city parks. 3 weeks ago, the city's consultant presented its recommendations for major changes at 4 of the parks: City Beach, Memorial Field, Traverse Park, and the Sand Creek Landing. I think, Shannon, you're the first one on this question. What's your take on the master plan process and a couple of specific things as relates to the master plans for the parks? The initial plan presented for City Beach depends on a land swap. What do you think about the land swap with Edgewater to make that plan happen? And then the council also approved last week large changes for Memorial Field that include reducing the fields to make more parking and replace the grass playing field and artificial turf. Did you agree with that decision? Do you think the process was right there?
Chris, I think you need to make that question a little bit longer.
Okay. All right. We'll go for it.
We're just talking about the Parks Master Plan, right?
That's it. Just the Parks Master Plan.
Okay. I honestly need you to repeat the first part of that question because it was...
Well, do you think the process is good for the Master Plan? And then a couple of specific things on there.
Land swap.
The land swap and the Memorial Field. Yeah.
I think the process in itself has been going great. We've really committed ourselves as a city to engaging all of our stakeholders, our residents, visitors, and business owners. And I think that they showed up. And that has been incredible. I'm really proud that this process has gone fairly smoothly. And we've been able to get a lot of people to chime in and to hopefully carry out their vision. So I think it's been going well. As for the land swap, I think that this is in terms of trying to preserve a huge community asset, which is Trinity. I've heard it over and over again that people are very concerned that that's just going to go away. And so a land swap where the city owns property in front of the existing Edgewater, and whereas the owners of the Edgewater own property over by the current RV park, if we were to be able to negotiate a land swap, it wouldn't be just for the benefit of Trinity. The city would still own that land. And hopefully negotiate some kind of long-term lease, whether it be with Trinity or another business that would bring value to the community.
Okay. in the Memorial Field.
Oh, I thought I was
Can't
done.
Forget that one.
Okay, Memorial Field. What was the question? Did I?
Do you agree with the decision that was made and the process that arrived there?
No, I don't. I voted for natural grass. I really wished, and I had suggested during the council meeting that the plan be examined in the same exact way it was proposed, with the changes to parking and the other elements to the plan, but to also look at what it would look like or with natural grass rather than turf. So that's not happening, and the vote was to go ahead with artificial turf. So no, I don't agree with that.
Okay. Ken Lawrence, same question to you on the Parks Master Plan. Do you like the process that's gotten us four really different plans for the different parks, the major parks in town? Also, specifically, what do you think about the land swap at City Beach and the Memorial Field decision?
Okay, it's good to be able to share this these thoughts with you. The city has this master planning and process concerning the parks, and I had the privilege I attended 5 hours in three different places on presenting the basic information that Greenplay had shared with us, a presentation down at the Panada, and then again at the city council meeting. And again, the next city council meeting, I guess, when Ms. Stapleton reviewed most of it, for quite a while. So I understand it's a 30 to 50 year plan, so there were no real costs spelled out. And I was impressed that in the opening remarks that Greenplay gave Sandpoint existing parks a very high rating. Based on comparison to other parks in our size and cities of our size, I believe they said two of our parks were in the top 10% in America, and several others were, two were outstanding, I think, in the top 10. Others, 10% of our were in the top 10% of our size. So they also said that 95% of our residents live within walking distance of a park now. So my question was, if we're in such good shape, I would think we could be careful as we move forward with contemplation and careful planning. The follow-up on that is the initial conceptual plan presented for City Beach is dependent upon the city being able to negotiate the land swap. And as presented by Greenplay, it sounded to make a lot of sense to me. But there'll be a lot more facts to look into.
Okay. Thank you. And Shelby Ronstadt, same questions to you on the Parks Master Planning process.
You don't need to repeat them.
Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I think the process was great. We had more robust participation in this effort than we've had to date. We had over 1,100 returned responses. 550 plus were mailed out to residences and returned, and then there were over 550 also that were online. So great representation. We also had 57 people participate in stakeholder engagement meetings, and there was a lot of participation over the months leading up to the concept that was unveiled a few weeks ago. I think and one thing I want to mention. The important thing, you know, Ken had mentioned the, yes, we are in a great place, City of Sandpoint, in terms of our ratio of parks to people and park services to people. But it's critical that we maintain that infrastructure because it is failing. And just like a lot of our roads are right now, and unless we can develop a plan to fund those improvements and maintain that infrastructure, it's going to continue to deteriorate. And we're going to lose what I think is our greatest asset here, which is our quality of life. Regarding the swap, I think that taxpayer benefit comes first. And when I was looking at that deal, I'm really thinking, how can we as a city best represent our taxpayers and ensure that we get the best public benefit downtown down there at City Beach? And this was a good swap for us because there was no, you know, development potential or, you know, not a, a lot of potential for the city to maintain that grass adjacent to Trinity. And obviously it's a benefit to Trinity and the hotel to be able to use that space in their expansion and growth. But at the end of the day, it created a better, much better flow and parking and boat launch situation that dramatically improved City Beach. And regarding the turf decision, I think that was the right decision. I know it was a difficult decision, and I was very torn on it myself through the whole process, and I know the community feels very torn on it, but I think this is going to be one of those, kind of like the byway, where we look back and see, it was a difficult decision, and there was a lot of divisiveness through the process, but we're going to look back and think, wow, this is really great for Sandpoint.
Thanks. Okay, thank you, Shelby, on that. Next question.
Okay, I just want to remind our listeners, we're here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. This is the Candidates Forum here live, and we're with the mayoral candidates this morning. And our next question, and I think the next person who gets it first is Ken, is that correct? Okay. But it's for all of our candidates. Bonner County has initiated a lawsuit against the city of Sandpoint over its lease of Memorial Field to the festival at Sandpoint, which bans guns at its concerts for those 2 weeks in August. What is your take on this, and what actions do you think the city should take? And Ken, let's start with you.
Okay. Thank you for that wonderful question, which has no landmines involved whatsoever. The decision of the city attorney not to take a stand and the decision of the county to file a lawsuit thereafter has prompted the city to spend money on hiring a law firm to defend the gun ban. The county's lawsuit against the city is pro bono work. Now it's out of our hands, and the courts will have to decide the outcome of this. So as someone running for mayor at this point, I'm leaving it in the hands of the court and would desire to follow the laws of the state when we find out what the decisions are and what the judgment would be, and I would cooperate with that.
Thank you, Ken Lawrence. And Shelby Ronstead, Mayor Ronstead, same question.
Sure. And to be clear, the city has no gun ban. We leased the property to the festival at Sandpoint, and they have conditions in their contracts with their performers whereby they will not perform if they allow guns in their events. So that's the festival policy to not allow guns. They've had that policy for decades, and it's never been an issue until it was challenged this year. So, the city has to defend any lawsuit that's brought against it. It filed for dismissal, and I think that's the right decision.
Thank you. And Councilwoman Shannon Williamson.
Thank you. I concur with Shelby in terms of what our policy is at the city. And of course, we're going to have to defend ourselves if litigation is brought against us. Since this, the county is seeking declaratory judgment and not monetary claims, it's really unfortunate because normally we would be protected under our insurance by ICRIMP. The reason we had to retain an attorney is because they're seeking declaratory judgment. And so it is unfortunate for our taxpayers. It's unfortunate for those of us that live within the city because we get to pay twice. And I understand that the county is having to pay for their legal defense. There's been a lot of misinformation, I think, that has been communicated about exactly how much that is. But I know that I'm a resident of the city of Sandpoint, and I get to be punished twice.
Okay. All right. Anybody got a rebuttal on that one? It's a hot topic. Okay. Next question, then. Jobs and the economy are always an election issue. How would you describe the economy of Sandpoint today, and what role, if any, do you see the city council and the mayor to play in creating a healthy local economy to foster the growth of living wage jobs in Sandpoint? That question goes to you first, Shelby.
Yeah, well, I think today, you know, we're doing really well, especially relative. If you look at it, other rural towns across America, Sandpoint is doing fantastic in terms of diversification of economy. We obviously have strong tourism here. increasingly we have a lot of technology in manufacturing. I think what really defines Sandpoint is the high degree of innovation that we have here and high degree of entrepreneurial spirit. In Sandpoint, there's over 1,000 business licenses, which I think is really pretty remarkable. In terms of what the city can do, the city's responsibility is to provide and maintain quality infrastructure. That's what attracts businesses and keeps business healthy. So that's part of what's happening with the downtown revitalization that you see down on First. It's why we built the fiber network that allows high-speed, affordable internet in Sandpoint like we've never had before. And it's why we continue to invest in our park system because our quality of life is arguably, I would strongly argue, that's our greatest asset here in Sandpoint. So I think, streets and right-of-ways is part of this too, and I'm eager to tackle that in the second term.
Okay, thank you. Shannon Williamson, same question to you on jobs in the local economy. Do you see a role for the city council and the mayor to play in creating a healthy local economy?
Thanks for that question. I do think the economy is doing well, but we can always do better. And I'm proud that we have a diverse economy. Yes, of course, we do have a lot of tourism here, and I don't think that's going to change. I mean, people come to Sandpoint because it's stunningly beautiful. We have this amazing lake, and we have the surrounding mountains, and so we're always going to have tourism. But we have been steadily diversifying our economy, which I think is really critical, and I hope that we can continue to do that. I'm really glad that we've fairly recently become a member as a city of the Bonner County Economic Development Corporation. We were trying to kind of tackle economic development in-house, and I think that this is something that we need to work with our regional partners on. And by being a member of this corporation, we're doing exactly that. And so I do feel like there is a role in terms of the city being involved, but I think we need to also partner with the greater county as well.
Thank you. Ken Lawrence, same question to you on the economy. How would you describe the economy today, and what role do you see the city council mayor to play in fostering a good economy here?
I see the economy today as being really wonderful, and I believe that is largely because of the leadership of the president of the United States and the way that we have been moving as a country, and that comes into our area. We have so much beauty and natural attraction here that draws people to this area. So we've really been blessed in that sense. Thanks to the many policies that we've been discussing, we see Sandpoint tremendously improving, but we want to become more business friendly, reassessing some of the regulatory constrictions. We'd like to make classes available on basic financial management for people of all ages. I believe that a lot of our people in our society do not understand the basics, ABCs, of simple management of personal funds, and therefore they may make more or less money but still be struggling from paycheck to paycheck. And so I'm desiring to see that improve. I remember 20 years ago when my son-in-law moved into town with his family, and we came down to City Beach, looked across the lake, looked at the mountains on the other side, looked at the park, and he had just driven across the whole United States to get here. And he's a quiet person, but he said to me, "We get to live here?" And that was about a year after I'd come, but there's an attraction, a draw, and a beauty about Sandpoint that we all love.
Well, related to the economy is the matter of affordable workforce housing. And I think we start with Ken or Shannon. Thank you. Do you feel affordable housing is an issue the city can tackle, and the city council and mayor? And if so, do you have plans to address it?
It's a huge issue, and we have no choice but to tackle it. It's our responsibility to the people that love Sandpoint and don't want to leave but are feeling that they're being pushed out because they can't afford it. And I think I mentioned this earlier when I was one of my original concerns is affordability. And we've talked about this as a council and with the mayor and our staff over and over and over again. And we have first need to define what affordability is. Are we talking about providing more affordable rent or rental opportunities, more affordable opportunities for first-time homeowners? These are all things that we need to clarify. We absolutely do need to tackle it. And I think I mentioned previously, we need to take lessons from other cities that have struggled with this, that are of similar size, and look for innovative solutions. I mean, we've had conversations with developers. They've expressed interest in delaying and deferring or even getting rid of impact fees, which provides a big challenge for them up front when they're building. There have been multiple suggestions that have been put forth by both the city as well as those that are responsible for building affordable housing. But we have not come to a consensus yet, and this is something that needs to be addressed in the near term. We need to fix this problem.
Thank you, Shannon Williamson. And Ken Lawrence, the same question.
Well, Sandpoint's median income is reportedly around $33,000. That means purchasing a home, even in a good economy as we have right now, is tough. Affordable housing is sort of sorely needed. It's one of my highest priorities. It can be accomplished by making rules, regulations, fees, and taxes as affordable as possible. Otherwise, builders will look somewhere else to build. Go outside. Sagal is an option. We see a lot of building going on there because of the space and so forth. But people will choose to live outside the city if this becomes the direction. So as, for instance, in Ponderay, mentioning the other direction from us, they've grown by leaps and bounds in recent years. And so we need to get this thing under control, and I'm going to be giving a lot more attention to this issue when I become mayor.
Okay, thank you, Ken Lawrence. And Shelby Ronstead, same question.
Yeah, you know, when I've been going door to door for the last month and a half and talking to a lot of people, and that's definitely the number one issue that I hear from residents and citizens is affordability is clearly an issue. In 2017, I took the executive decision to reduce NUF fees by half, so that significantly reduced that startup cost for new construction. So there are things that we have done, and there's still more that we can do. And a lot of this can be addressed through the comprehensive plan and how we manage growth and development. But really, you know, affordability is, at the end of the day, it's a comprehensive issue that requires a lot of different solutions to make some gain on this. And while, yes, we can look to other communities and see where there have been successes, but nobody's figured out the silver bullet for this. This is a problem all over the country, and it's certainly a problem here. We've done a lot of things right, and I think there's still more that we can do. In terms of creative solutions, I met with community leaders and organizations and discussed the idea of a land trust, which takes the cost of the land out of the housing equation. This has been done successfully down in McCall, and it's also been done all over the country, and I think it's a great model that I'm interested in pursuing. And then the other half of affordability is wages. And as Ken mentioned, yes, housing affordability is an issue, but also median income is an issue. And by strengthening the economy and continuing to invest in quality of life related issues that feed economic vitality, that's another way that we can address affordability by creating more high paying jobs in this community.
Okay, thank you, Shelby. I think we have time for one more question, if we keep it just a minute or so for a response. Downtown Sandpoint is in the midst of a multi-year revitalization project. Last year, it rebuilt Cedar Street. Right now, it's in the midst of rebuilding First Avenue with wider sidewalks, new parking schemes, new furniture. And this question is to you first, Ken Lawrence. Do you support this? Is there anything that you would have done differently in the project?
Well, I didn't have to be mayor during that period of time, and so I would have put it all in one year and had it all done easily, nicely, no problems, no concerns. But that's kind of a fairy tale way to view it, perhaps. While trying to maintain Sandpoint's small downtown character, we must be mindful of vehicle traffic as well as pedestrians. So though the bump outs, which are a part of this project, are well suited for pedestrian traffic, they wreak havoc on vehicle traffic and snow removal, as well as making it difficult for vehicles to turn right on red just in a couple of spots, but where we have lights and the curbs have bumped out so far, you can't turn right on red. And so I'm concerned about that minor thing, but I am appreciative of the fact that now the streets are getting graveled and soon to be paved, and I was told striped even this year. And sidewalks, not so much, but soon, next year, which will be at least 4 years, I think, that we'll have been dealing with these things, four different calendar years. But anyhow, so I appreciate the fact that things are being improved, and so we want to continue to do things but make wise decisions as we go forward.
Okay, thank you. Shelby Ronstadt, same question to you. Do you support the revitalization project that's going on downtown? Is there anything you would do differently?
Yeah, this was a community-driven process, like all major projects that we do here at the city. It really started back in 2005 with the development of the Urban Renewal Agency that was the funding agency that's funding all of this revitalization effort. In 2012, there was a robust community engagement effort that created the Downtown Streets Design Guide, and that really has determined what the future revitalization of the downtown right-of-ways will look like. Excuse me. And I do support it. I think it's been great. We can debate whether this could have changed or that could have changed, at the end of the day, again, this was a community-driven decision with a lot of public meetings, a lot of public input. And so I trust the citizens that they're making the right choice for their downtown.
Okay. And finally, Shannon Williamson, to you, that question, do you support the downtown revitalization project and anything you would have done differently?
Well, I think the first phase that's been completed along Cedar really does represent the vision of all the community members that shared their input. And I was really pleased with the level of engagement that we saw there. We also heard loud and clear from the downtown business owners that they wanted things changed. That's why phase two started late after the tourism season to try to minimize impacts on their bottom lines. That's why we have fencing up with material to minimize the amount of dust and dirt that was coming into their businesses. My office was located right at the corner of Cedar, and I was, sweeping out dirt every single day during phase one. And so the city spent a lot of time listening to the concerns of the downtown business owners. And I think that everything you're seeing down there that's doing different now, the timing, the fencing, all of that is in direct response to try to minimize impacts on our local business owners. That being said, this is something I hear about all the time. I don't want to go downtown. I have no interest in being downtown. And I think that although we have improved in the way we communicate with our residents and visitors and business owners, I think there's always room for improvement there. We need to be able to clearly communicate and in a timely manner, whether that's daily updates, what they can anticipate from projects of this scope.
Okay. Well, thank you, Shannon. And to all the candidates, we're out of time now, so we've tons more to talk about. but I'd like to say thank you very much for being here. And again, we are having, there's a candidates forum this Friday, the 25th, and there's a one that we're co-hosting next Tuesday on the 29th. That's 5:30 to 8:30 at Community Hall. So we hope folks will come and get a chance to meet you guys. There's nothing better than seeing you in the flesh. So thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Susie. And thank you, listeners.
Yeah. And next week we'll have who are we having next week, Chris, for the local decision?
We're talking with folks from the school district.
Okay. Yeah. And I want to remind you that tomorrow on the morning show, Jim and Jack will be here with Mike Bauer from the East Bonner County Library. with updates. Also, stay with me right after Bird Note this morning at 9 o'clock. I have two more interviews, one with Mark Sauter about the emergency management services in our community, and also with Don Childress. He's the host of the new show on KRFY called The Fourth Sunday Showtime. And we're going to hear a song right now. We're going to go out with an appropriate song. This is Bruce Springsteen, My Hometown. Again, stay with us. We have another interview at 9 o'clock, too, actually. So stay with me. And here it is, Bruce Springsteen. Hope everyone has a beautiful day. And we'll be back at 9.